I haven't forgotten that I said I was going to talk about how we're supposed to behave in Babylon. Yeah, I know it was supposed to be last week, but I didn't do it. All right, look, hey, folks, welcome to Thursday. This is Martin Zender. I did tell you that we were going to talk about how we are to behave as a people in exile, and we are in exile. And we're going to go to Jeremiah 29. Why don't we close out the week that way tomorrow? We'll close out the week, and we'll talk about the perils of being under a foreign power, and we'll tell you how to behave. Wants you to behave yourself. It doesn't mean you have to be a goody-two-shoes, but you have to have it's an attitude. It's an entire attitude you have to have. Once you have that attitude in place, everything else will fall in line under that. So again, welcome to Thursday. I am Martin Zender, your host, looking into secrets in the book of Daniel, things about government, things about religion and politics that people just don't realize. They're under the impression, get this, people are under the impression that we are going to reach some kind of political utopia. And people are always striving for it. And when you realize that that's not the designs of God, that we are in the preliminaries of a great kingdom of His, and that the contrast must be created, contrast of failure, that's what we're into. So we left our friends here, Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Wouldn't I have liked to have been in that throne room? But we're going there right now. I'm taking you into the inner sanctum of the King of the world, where He is actually giving the time of day to an ex-prisoner of war. That's how God does things. So Daniel hears the dream. The dream concerns a giant oak tree. We're going to see what's going to happen to that in a moment. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Why is the dream flustering you, Daniel?" Reminds me of a joke. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Why the long face?" No, that was the joke. Okay, forget it. Daniel says, "My lord, the dream is for those hating you and its interpretation for your foes. The oak that you perceived, that increases and is mighty and its height is reaching to the heavens and is perceptible to the entire earth, that oak tree, the ones whose leaves are seemly and its pollination abundant and sustenance for all is in it, under it the animal of the field is abiding, and in its boughs are roosting the birds of the heavens, that oak tree, okay, that's you, O King, seeing that you are increased and mighty, and your grandeur is increased and reaches to the heavens, and your authority to the extremity of the earth." This, again, as I said yesterday, is a picture of the First World Empire. It's presented under the figure of a tree. This gives us not only insight into the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, it was not a theoretical world kingdom. It also gives us insight into the coming world kingdom that us living on this earth now, are on the brink of. We're used to thinking of Nebuchadnezzar as this ruthless dictator. I mean, he went into the temple, stole the sacred vessels, brought them to Babylon, brought the wise men of Jerusalem. But yet this guy was also a competent administrator. And this is the tricky thing, because you see him actually doing things right and doing things well. This is why, pardon me for getting political again, I don't see Obama as being the Antichrist or being the one who's going to lead the world into this amazing one-world government, because he's incompetent. He can't do anything right. He's never held down a job in his life. The administrator of the one-world government is going to be competent, and he's going to bring peace and plenty to the peoples, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. This is a great clue God is giving us in Daniel as to how the administrator, the man of lawlessness, is going to be in our era. You have to look for this. You have to look for competence. You have to look for universal appeal. Obama is too divisive. Half the country hates him, more than half. And so that's not it. People have asked me, "Martin, do you think Obama's the Antichrist?" I said, "Well, no, I don't." I said, "Why? What's the number one thing that makes you think he's not the Antichrist?" And I said, "Well, the Antichrist is going to be likable. The Antichrist is going to be fluent and a great speech maker. Won't need teleprompters, this guy, believe me. And, well, Nebuchadnezzar had a little bit of an advantage in that he had Daniel being one of the administrators of the kingdom. So it was conducted well. So let's look, I want to look at, in today's show, I want to look at the details. There are five details of this kingdom, the world kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And I want to tell you that this is the recipe and the template for the coming kingdom in our era. This is what you need to look for. You see, I'm taking what worked in the past and I'm applying it to the present, because God's operations, although they seem new to us, they never change. God keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. I find that comforting. So the tree, it's quote, number one, it's perceptible to the ends of the earth. You have to have a one world government. You say, Martin, we're so far away from that now. No, we're not. As you've heard me say, you don't need armies anymore to conquer. You need to control the money. You need a one world global currency. A handful of people control the money. That's all you need. You can declare it to be true. You can declare. You can control another country by manipulating its currency. I don't know the details of that. I don't know how you do that. But I know that nations are moved and changed by financial transactions. And these days, only a handful of people are in charge of those transactions. It's administrational now, not confrontational. Well, it's its own confrontation, but not confrontational in the sense of armies, literal armies on the ground. Boom, big cannons. We're past the era of boom. We're in the era of backroom deals. Jekyll Island, the formation of the Federal Reserve. Lots of power concentrated with few people who have control of the finances. That's your one world government. And it's going to be ably administrated. It's going to be smart, going to be snappy, it's going to wear wingtip shoes, baby. Perceptible to the ends of the earth. This corresponded to Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2 concerning the head of gold. And it speaks of the authority that Nebuchadnezzar had. You have to be able to tell the rest of the world what to do, and be able to effectively do it. You can't just say you do it, like the Roman Empire. People think that Rome had a world empire, so they see Rome as the fourth world empire of the image of chapter 2, and they mistakenly think that that's in the past, whereas it's not, because Rome never did it. Rome said it had an all-encompassing kingdom, but there are lands and places that their influence didn't reach. This oak tree was, quote, perceptible to the entire earth, 421. And it has to be recognized by everywhere where humans dwell. Now, the quality of the rule and its economic administration was extremely satisfactory. So we have the perceptibility of it, it's seen. You can tell that it's overall, and you also have the authority, able, this last kingdom has to be able to tell other people what to do and have it effected. And the quality of the rule, the plenty of its economic administration, you have to then, where the rubber meets the road, be able to enact it. You have to be able to provide those physical things. That's what people want, peace and plenty. You get the peace part, but you need the plenty now. You know, the old adage, two cars in every garage, chicken in every pot. This has to work on your dinner table. It has to work in your garage. Dinner table and garage. And a good administrator will do that. Whereas communism, it's theoretical. Everything's a theory. The utopia of today, as spouted by our modern politicians, it's all pie in the sky. Nobody ever looks at the policies, whether they actually work. It's just that if you have a good intention, oh, isn't that nice? They want to bring peace and plenty to everyone. But unless you do it, it's so much pie in the sky. Nebuchadnezzar provided it. And when you do that, you really have something. And it's not happening today. Because they're cooking the job numbers. And you can show a graph on paper, but when a guy over here doesn't have a job, when he looks in his pot and there's no chicken, looks in his garage, there's no car, you can't say it's being done. That's why we're not there yet. Number four, shelter and ease. This is all sort of related, but I'm looking at all the elements of this dream. The leaves suggest shelter. The leaves are seemly, and its pollination abundant, and sustenance for all is in it. We have to see this. This corresponds again with Jesus when they are saying peace, peace. So any government that is able to do this, beware. Because again, it's not God's intention for humanity today to sustain any sort of sufficiency or success. You'll see it, but it'll be there in order to be toppled. It's not going to last because we can't make it last. God gives us all little pictures, and they're always temporary. It's a flash in the pan. You've heard that phrase. Somebody gets on American Idol. They're a flash in the pan. Nothing lasts. And yet in the flash, there's still value in the flash. We're not doubting the quality of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, not doubting the quality of someone singing on American Idol, not doubting the quality. It's the endurance. Because nothing arises in this era when it is not almost immediately corrupted. And the corruption comes from pride. And we're going to see that in Nebuchadnezzar, probably not until Monday. We're going to see the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. So his power and his might is not taken from him for lack of ability. Don't want you to make this mistake to think that God's going to punish incompetence. And once we see competence, then everything's cool. God's fine with it. No, competence is a harbinger of divine judgment. It's what man's striving for, but in this era, it's not the goal of God. Going to look at the coming destruction of Nebuchadnezzar. Might have to hold that off till Monday. Sorry about that. Unless you want me to do it tomorrow. Continue with that, and then on Monday, get to how we're supposed to be here. Why don't we do that tomorrow? At the end of the week, I'm going to show you about the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to learn plenty from that, too, because nothing is going to be taken us unawares. God tells what he's doing to his friends. He doesn't leave us without it. So here's a pattern we're looking at. I'm taking it, transposing it to today, and we're learning much. We're not going to be taken unawares by the darkness coming upon us that is going to pose as light. We'll be right back.